Peter had come to Christ with the question, "How oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till 7 times?" The rabbis limited the exercise of forgiveness to 3 offenses. Peter, carrying out, as he supposed, the teaching of Christ, thought to extend it to 7, the number signifying perfection. But Christ taught that we are never to become weary of forgiving. Not until 7 times, he said, but until 70 times 7. Welcome to another broadcast of the Gospel Herald, a ministry of the Lancaster Seventh-day Adventist Church. We'd like to invite you to worship with us each Sabbath morning. Bible study begins at about 9:30, and worship service begins at about 11. We've just read from Matthew 18:21. I'd encourage you to get out your Bible and read this passage. Peter had come to Christ with the question, "How many times should I forgive my brother?" Or, "How many times do I have to?" Or, "How many times am I required to do so, just so I can squeeze my way into heaven?" In reply, Jesus showed the true ground upon which forgiveness is to be granted, and the danger of cherishing an unforgiving spirit. In a parable, he told of a king's dealing with the officers who administered the affairs of his government. Some of these officers were in receipt of vast sums of money belonging to the state. As the king investigated their administration of this trust, there was brought before him one man whose account showed a debt to his lord for the immense sum of 10,000 talents. He had nothing to pay, and, according to the custom, the king ordered him to be sold with all that he had, that payment might be made. But the terrified man fell at his feet and besought him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all." Then the lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out, and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, and he laid hands on him, and took him by the throat, saying, "Pay me that thou owest." And his fellow servant fell down at his feet, and besought him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all." And he would not, but went, and cast him into prison, till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servant saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told to the Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after he had called him, said unto him, "O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, as I had pity on thee?" And his Lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. This parable presents great truths, and to these our thoughts should be given. The pardon granted by this king represents a divine forgiveness of all sin. Christ is represented by the king, who, moved with compassion, forgave the debt of his servant. Man was under the condemnation of the broken law. He could not save himself, and for this reason, Christ came to this world, clothed his divinity with humanity, and gave his life, the just for the unjust. He gave himself for our sins. To every soul he freely gives the blood-bought pardon. We read in Psalm 130, verse 7, "With the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption." This is the basis upon which we should exercise compassion toward our fellow sinners. If God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Christ also tells us in Matthew 10:8, "Freely ye have received, freely give." In the parable, when the debtor pleaded for delay, with the promise, "Have patience with me, I will pay thee all," the sentence was revoked. His entire debt was canceled. Like this man in the parable, when we realize some of the blessings of God that have been freely given to us, we are given an opportunity to witness for God. This man was no different, for he was soon given an opportunity to follow the example of the master who had so graciously forgiven him. Going out, he met a fellow servant who owed him a small sum. This man had been forgiven 10,000 talents, and this debtor owed him 100 pence. But he who had been so mercifully treated dealt with his fellow laborer in an altogether different manner. His debtor made an appeal similar to that which he himself had made to the king, but without a similar result. He who had so recently been forgiven was not tender-hearted and full of pity, and as he dealt with his fellow servant there was no compassion. He did not heed the request to be patient. The small sum owed to him was all that the ungrateful servant would keep in mind. He demanded all that he thought his due, and carried into effect a sentence similar to that which had been so graciously revoked for him. How many today have the same spirit? When the debtor pleaded with his Lord for mercy, he had no true sense of the greatness of his debt. He did not realize his helplessness. He hoped to deliver himself by pleading, "Have patience with me." He thought he would be able to pay it all. There are many who hope by their own works to merit God's favor. They don't realize their helplessness. They don't accept the grace of God as a free gift. But they're trying to build themselves up in self-righteousness. Their own hearts are not broken and humbled on account of sin, and they are exacting and unforgiving toward others. Their own sins against God, compared with their brother's sins against them, are as 10,000 talents compared to 100 pence, nearly 1,000,000 to one, yet they remain unforgiving. In the parable, the Lord summoned the unmerciful debtor and said unto him, "O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt, just because you wanted it, because you desired me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee?" And his Lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due him. "So likewise," said Jesus, "shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses." He who refuses to forgive is throwing away his own hope of pardon. Now, we must be careful as we teach this parable so that it is not misapplied. Just because God forgives us does not mean that we have no duty to obey Him. The spirit of forgiveness toward our fellow men does not lessen the claim of obligation. In the prayer which Christ taught His disciples, and which is recorded for us in Matthew 6:12, He said, "Forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors." By this He does not mean that in order to be forgiven our sins we must not require our just dues from our debtors. If they cannot pay, even though this may be the result of unwise management, they are not to be cast into prison, oppressed, or even treated harshly. But the parable does not teach us to encourage laziness. The Word of God declares that if a man will not work, neither shall he eat. You can read that in 2 Thessalonians 3:10. The Lord does not require the hard-working man to support others in idleness. With many, there is a waste of time and a lack of effort which brings poverty. If this fault is not corrected, all that might be done in their behalf would be like putting treasure into a bag with holes. Yet there is also an unavoidable poverty, and we are to show tenderness and compassion toward those that are unfortunate. We should treat others just as we ourselves, in like circumstances, would wish to be treated. The Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul, charges us, "If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." That's Philippians 2, verses 1 to 5. Even with that said, sin is not to be lightly regarded. The Lord says, "If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him." Sin is to be called by its right name, and it is to be plainly laid out before the wrongdoer. In his letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul, writing under the influence of the Holy Spirit, says, "Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. That's 2 Timothy 4:2. And to Titus he writes, "There are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers. Wherefore, rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith." We also read in Matthew 18, verses 15 to 17, "If thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican." Jesus teaches that matters of difficulty between Christians are to be settled within the church. They should not be opened before those who have no respect for God. If a Christian is wronged by his brother, he should not appeal to unbelievers in a court of justice. Let him follow out the instruction Christ has given. Instead of trying to avenge himself, let him seek to save his brother. God will guard the interests of those who love and fear him, and with confidence we may commit our case to God who judges righteously. Too often, when wrongs are committed again and again, and the wrongdoer confesses his fault, the injured one becomes weary and thinks he has done all the forgiving that needs to be done. But the Savior has plainly told us how to deal with the erring. "If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him." That's Luke 17:3. Don't hold him off as unworthy of confidence. Realize that we are all alike, fully able to commit the same sin. In Galatians 3:1 we are told, "Consider thyself, lest thou also be tempted." If your brethren err, you are to forgive them. When they come to you with confession, you should not say, "Oh, I don't think they're humble enough. I don't think they feel their confession." What right have you to judge them, as if you could read their heart? The Word of God says, "If he repent, forgive him. And if he trespasses against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him." And not only 7 times, but 70 times 7, just as often as God forgives you. We ourselves owe everything to God's free grace, that grace that's found in the new covenant of Genesis 3:15 that ordained our adoption. Grace in the Savior effected our redemption, our regeneration, and our exaltation to sons and daughters with Christ. What Jesus is telling us is that we must also let this grace be revealed to others. We should not be the cause for discouragement. Don't let Pharisaical hardness come in and hurt your brother. Don't even let those thoughts enter your mind or your heart. Not even a tinge of scorn should be heard in your voice. If you speak a word of your own, if you take an attitude of indifference or show suspicion or distrust, it may prove the ruin of a soul. He needs a brother with the elder brother's heart of sympathy to touch his heart of humanity. Let him feel the strong clasp of a sympathizing hand and hear the whisper, "Let us pray." God will give a rich experience to you both, for prayer unites us with one another and with God. Prayer brings Jesus to our side and gives to the fainting, troubled soul new strength to overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil. Prayer turns aside the attacks of Satan. When one turns away from human imperfections to behold Jesus, a divine transformation takes place in the character. The Spirit of Christ, working upon the heart, conforms it to His image. Let it be your effort to lift up Jesus. Let the mind's eye be directed to the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. As you engage in this work, remember that he that converteth a sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death, and shall hide a multitude of sins. "But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Nothing can justify an unforgiving spirit. Christ says in Matthew 7:2, "With what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye mete, it shall be measured to you again.